This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with former Congressman Devin Nunes, who was chair of House Intelligence, ranking House Intelligence during the turmoil of the Russiagate, continuing Russiagate scandal. At the same time, there are players from the Intelligence Committee, members of the Intelligence Committee when Devin was chair and ranking, who are now in the news because Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy has advanced that they will not serve, these two men will not serve on the Intelligence Committee. They're not trusted. One is Eric Swalwell of California, who has been accused and has denied that he had an intimate relationship with a young woman who was also a member of Chinese state security. We move then to the very famous and prominent Mr. Schiff, was chair of House Intelligence Committee. And Adam Schiff has now announced his candidacy for a seat that is not yet open, but is presumed to be opening when Dianne Feinstein steps away from her senior Senate seat. Adam Schiff is sending emails out all the time now. I'm on his list, so I read how he's campaigning. He writes me, John, I can't tell you how much I appreciate all of the support and kind words I've received since we launched our Senate campaign. The team has had my back through thick and thin as we embark on a new challenge. I can't help but reflect on all that we've accomplished until now. That thick and thin part involves in some fashion that Adam Schiff was the speaker, commonplace speaker on national television in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. Again and again, reinforcing his opinion that he'd seen more than circumstantial evidence that Donald Trump was a tool of the Kremlin and Vladimir Putin. Again and again, he said this on television. He's never taken it back. He's never explained himself. He's now running for Senate in California. And Devin, I want to start with the two men on House Intelligence who are now defenestrated. Mr. McCarthy says you're not worthy of serving. Eric Swalwell, I know least about him. There is the allegation about the Chinese spy. He's never been a particularly vivid speaker. Is he a security risk, in your opinion? Do you endorse Mr. McCarthy's decision that Eric Swalwell is best to serve his constituents without access to intelligence?
Well, John, there were several members of the Democratic Party that served on the House Intelligence Committee that would engage in this type of nonsensical charade of Russian collusion, you know, hiding in plain sight, more than circumstantial evidence. But probably, obviously, Schiff was the leader of all of this. But a close second, and, you know, kind of, I think there were always jokes about that Schiff and Swall were like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. There were all kinds at the time. The Republicans, we'd always joke because whenever you'd see Schiff, you would see Swalwell just following him around, kind of repeating the same things over and over again like a lunatic. And so what I've said is that it's not so much that, you know, I mean, look, there's spies running all over Washington. You know, obviously, I think most people don't end up sleeping with them. But in Swalwell's case, it's not just about that. It's about whatever his relationship was with the Chinese spy. It's, by the way, was out in California, not in Washington, D.C. It's just the compounding year after year after year of scandal after scandal with him where he just lied to the American people. And there's, at some point, someone has to pay a price. And the price that, and here, because what you have this information, and it was every single day, this classified information, and every single day they'd pop out from the skiff and say things that were, well, I can't tell you what I told you, but it's really bad, and it's clearly there, this evidence. And of course, we had to run around saying, well, there is no such evidence. And of course, the fake news, 95% of it, just repeated it as if it was true. And so they've never had to pay the price when now, you know, every single time, you know, starting with the memo that we released in early 2018 to today, you know, it's like this 5-year vindication tour that those of us that were involved in this have been on. Yet you still have these fools that are out there lying about it, and they haven't, you know, I would guess if they were remorseful, went to Mr. McCarthy, sent a letter, went to the House floor, apologized. My guess is they might be able to serve on the House Intelligence Committee again at some point. but they're not willing to do that. And so, you know, what I say, John, is that, you know, Schiff is running for Senate really because he's not going to be on the Intelligence Committee. He couldn't get appointed to any other committee. And it was either that or create an OnlyFans account for him to be able to participate in and get the attention that he wants. Unfortunately for Swalwell, he's left with only being able to get an OnlyFans account because he's not going to be able to serve on a committee and he's not going to be able to run for the United States Senate.
The rules of the House of Representatives, the Speaker has the discretion to remove somebody from a committee, no matter whether they're Republican or Democrat. I believe Nancy Pelosi used this power when she decided not to permit two members of the Republican Party who wanted to be on the January 6th committee to join the committee. And at the time, that was seen as especially strong-handed of Nancy Pelosi. Now, Mr. McCarthy is being accused of political abuse. What you say is that the Speaker has the right to do this and that Swalwell and Schiff they're not fighting very hard, Devin, I tell you that. They're raising money hard, but they're not fighting very hard. They had to know it was coming. It can't have been a surprise.
Yeah, John, this was really the precedent that Pelosi set, which was something that we had not seen before in modern political history, if ever at all. I'm not aware of at any time in history that the majority party decided who the minority party members, what committees they sat on. It never happened until Pelosi decided to do it last Congress. And so there's been a certain weaponization of this process that has occurred, which is, you know, very dangerous. I mean, these are the things that lead to, you know, very dark places in American history. And, you know, this is a very dark chapter where you had one party who rejected the outcome of the 2016 election and Trump's victory, who weaponized the whole intelligence agencies, the FBI, the DOJ, to open an investigation into then a candidate and then a president, and really have never stopped. And what's happened is it's just degraded. And so Pelosi, who was a disastrous speaker, I served under her leadership the first time and then again the second time. And I say that it wasn't ever about their policies. It was just about how poorly the House was run. It was always just basically all the decisions were made from her office. And so when she thought it was expedient politically, she said, you know, damn the torpedoes. I don't care what the last 240 years in the United States House of Representatives have been. I'm going to go ahead. I don't like Jim Jordan. I don't like Jim Banks, you know, two kind of prominent Republicans known as pretty good investigators, especially Jim Jordan. I'm not going to let them anywhere near January 6th because, of course, who was culpable for January 6th? None other than Nancy Pelosi. People don't like to hear that, but maybe now the Republican Congress is going to investigate her, John, and probably, you know, this is going to be proven because I have been through numerous swearing of new presidents. Never had I seen little 3-foot bicycle fence racks that were surrounding the Capitol just days before, weeks before a new president was going to be inaugurated. So there's plenty of examples, obviously the intelligence ahead of time, that there was some danger around the Capitol. Pelosi knew about that. She wasn't about to let any Republican on that committee that was going to actually dig and get to the truth to cover her own tracks. But yet they wanted to weaponize January 6th, continually to go after Donald Trump and Republicans. And, you know, just another dark chapter in American history. Now, look, I think, John, you and I and everybody can agree that it's not okay to break windows and riot and break into the Capitol and go to the Senate floor and break things or go to Pelosi's office and mess with her computers. Against the law, you should be punished. But John, what we've seen here in the last couple of years has been people that didn't even go into the Capitol that day who are rotting in prison. I mean, Julie Kelly, who writes for American Greatness, which I know you have Thad McCotter on a lot, she's done extensive reporting on this, on just the mistreatment of Americans who what were they doing wrong? They didn't like the outcome of the 2020 election. They thought that it wasn't right, and they were protesting. And How is that any different than the numerous members of Congress who protested 2016, including Hillary Clinton herself, Adam Schiff, all the people we've been talking about, who weaponized the intelligence agencies, weaponized the Department of Justice, made up a total and complete lie to pretend that Donald Trump didn't win the presidency? I mean, the irony here is not only right in front of our face, but it's also very, very dangerous, John, that leads to very dark places, you know, and I'm afraid that it's just getting worse. And so what you had happen here is you had Pelosi weaponize the system. She used her power to say, yep, I control select committees. I'm going to decide who sits on a committee. So therefore, it made it, well, if that's the new norm, then it looks like that Kevin McCarthy, as the majority leader, can now, or as the speaker now, the leader of the majority party, that is now, not only is it fair game, but for people like Swalwell and Schiff, who in fact are very dangerous, he can boot them off the committees. And, you know, I think the other one is Ilhan Omar, who I think there's going to be a vote this next week on her, because that's a standing committee, not a select committee. So it's a little bit different. So there'd have to be a vote of the House. You know, John, this is somebody who had me as a Republican express these types of anti-Semitic views. I would have been voted out of Congress. I would have been booted from Congress. I would be, you know, I'd be attacked from all sides for being an anti-Semite. But for whatever reason, the fake news has largely left her alone. And I think what, you know, people like Kevin McCarthy are saying is, look, you know, this is, you know, if, since this is the new norm, we have people that have suspect views, very anti-Semitic views. Look, he's going to make an example of her. And, you know, I don't know if McCarthy will be done after this. I mean, he could, you know, if other issues pop up, there may be more people he kicks off the committee. And this is largely because, John, going back to, and just to kind of finish up on this, there's never been an apology. There's never been, which is what really needs to happen, where the waters need to calm, people need to apologize, saying, look, you know, this is, you know, there was, I never saw more than circumstantial evidence that Trump and Republicans were tied to Vladimir Putin. That's never happened. So what's happened is, and in fact, things just keep escalating, you know, so much so that we talked about it last week, where it's now just perfectly normal for the Biden top level of DOJ and the White House to say, let's just go ahead and go to a judge and let's raid Mar-a-Lago because we think that'll work to finally get rid of Trump. That's where we're at in this country. It's very, very dangerous. I wish I could joke about it, John, but really I can't because it's just so damn dangerous.
Devin Nunes, the leader of Truth Social, where they practice the First Amendment, and dissent is welcome. He's also a former member of Congress. We're going to turn to where what he represented, San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, because there looks to be good news, but I need to check with Devin. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.